For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
We give ear to you and to your word. We thank you, Lord, for the victory, the grace and the goodness of God in our lives. We love you and thank you, Lord. Please help us to listen, Lord, to the word of God, and may you have your way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Tonight we are looking at full redemption includes prosperity. So let's now turn to our first scripture. Let's have a look at Deuteronomy 28. And we'll read some verses in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it's verses 15 to 18. Because we're looking at redemption and how our redemption has saved. We are saved people. We are redeemed people. So not only are we redeemed from sin, but we are also redeemed from all of the curse. And we know that the curse has lack. Lack is in the curse. Have a look at Deuteronomy 28 and let's read verses 15 to 18. And this is what the word of God says about the curse. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. So this is talking about the curse. Now remember that when Adam sinned, when they sinned, they broke covenant with the Lord, Adam and Eve, and because of that, the blessing was removed and the curse came into the world. And the Lord God said, cursed is the earth, and he put a curse upon his creation because of the rebellion of man. But he provided a way out for those that trust in him, and starting right from the beginning. And that way was through sacrifice and forgiveness, through the turning away of sin and the turning back to God. So what is involved with that is a willingness to listen to God, to humble ourselves before God and to be obedient before him. So he says here that if a person does not hearken unto the voice of the Lord God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, then they are cursed. They remain under the curse because the curse is at work. And by default, if a person does not elect to come out of the curse, then the curse will stay in their lives. So for a Christian, the way out of the curse is through salvation, is through Jesus Christ. And what we can see in Deuteronomy, that curse affects the individual. It affects their belongings, it affects their life, it affects their finances and their things that they have. You know, it may seem that person is doing well in life, is prospering in life, but the curse is there. The curse is there in their life, and the devourer is there in their life. So even if they appear to be doing well, the curse and the devourer is still upon their things and upon them in their life. And there is only one way out, and that is through Jesus Christ. So have a look at Galatians 3:13. Have a look now at Galatians 3:13, which shows us what Jesus did for us in his substitutionary death upon the cross. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And verse 14 says, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So there's only one way out of the curse, and that is through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, he took the curse upon him, and the scripture says in verse 13 that he was made a curse for us. So everything of the curse, Jesus took upon himself. He actually became, he was made a curse for us. God took his spirit off the Lord Jesus Christ. He took his blessing off the Lord Jesus Christ at that time when he was crucified. He actually took the curse upon himself and everything that's in the curse. So the lack, the poverty, the sin, the sickness, everything that's part of the curse, Jesus Christ took upon himself. He took it upon himself on the cross and went to hell for us, suffered in hell, went to hell for us. So he became our substitute, where the curse is upon mankind and upon God's creation. Jesus Christ took all of it upon himself, so that those who believe on Jesus are redeemed from the curse of the law because of that transference, where Jesus took the curse upon himself and gave what he has, what he had, the glory and the power and the prosperity and the health that's part of his God, part of his Godhead, part of his authority. He bestowed it upon those that trust in him. So that was the transference. The cursed person, the curse went upon Jesus, and the blessing of God went upon the believer. And God does not take that blessing off the believer. It's there upon the believer, that like the salvation is upon the believer, the health is upon the believer. It's the believer that has to understand that they are blessed, that they are healed, that they are saved, and put that into operation accordingly. Because the devil will try to deceive the believer that they are not healed, that they are not blessed, that they still are under the curse which Jesus Christ took upon himself on the cross. So God wants us to understand that we are redeemed from the curse because Jesus took him upon himself and was made a curse for us. Part of that is what we just read in Deuteronomy, that cursed is the individual and their belongings and the lack and the devourer. But when a person obeys God, they are redeemed from that. They are redeemed from that. So Jesus Christ took that and gave us his blessing, gave us his riches, gave us his prosperity and his health and his righteousness, gave that to us. Have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." So obviously Jesus took the poverty upon himself through his poverty. Through his poverty, ye might be rich. He became poor. Is he poor now? No. Did he become poor? Yes. Did he take the poverty? Yes. Is he in poverty now? No. But he took it. He took it. And why? That ye through his poverty might be rich. Are you rich? Yes, you are rich in God. That means God blesses you. He meets your needs and you are not under the curse. You are not under lack. You are under blessing. You are not under lack. You are under blessing. Right now, if you have Jesus Christ as your Saviour, he took the curse, including poverty, so that you have the blessing, just what we read in verse 14 of Galatians 3, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And we read here that ye through his poverty might be rich. That ye through his poverty might be rich. So you do not lack. The Bible says that the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those that trust in the Lord shall not want any good thing. Shall not want any good thing. So God has it for you. God has it for you. God's will is for you to know his provision, his blessing in life, because Jesus took the poverty, Jesus took the lack, he took the curse so that you are blessed. Have a look in 3 John 1 verse 2. 3 John 1 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." God's will for us is prosperity because it's been purchased for us. He wants us to prosper. He wants us not to be in lack, but to rely on him as the God who meets our needs. His will for us is prosperity and it is health, even as our soul prospereth. And it's not just financial prosperity, but it's prosperity for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body, because they all prosper, spirit, soul, and body. So God's will for us is prosperity. Prosperity for the whole man. Prosperity for the whole man. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Even as thy soul prospereth. So the soul prosperity comes first. And it leads to prosperity as our minds are renewed and transformed by the Word of God. Christ. Let's go over to the Old Testament and have a look in the book of Job, chapter 36. And let's read verse 11. Job chapter 36 and verse 11 says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Let's read that again. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. That is God's will. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So he wants us to be spending our days in prosperity and our years in pleasures. And how do you do that? If you obey and serve him. If you obey and serve God. If you obey and serve him. That's the key there. Obedience and service to God lead to prosperity and pleasure, because that sounds, it sounds good. Your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. That's God's will. That is God's will. Your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. That is God's will. Your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. Godly, good pleasures. Not the temporary worldly pleasures, but the lasting pleasures that God gives, the good things that God gives, your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. That is God's will. How do you do it? If you obey and serve him. Obey and serve him. That's how it will be coming to pass in your life. Have a look in Psalm 25. Let's read verses 12 to 14 in Psalm 25. Verses 12 to 14. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So what is the scripture telling us here? This is talking about the man that fears the Lord. The man that fears the Lord. And obviously the person who fears the Lord obeys and serves the Lord. The person who fears the Lord, the scripture says that God will teach him in the way that he shall choose, which is the good way. God teaches the person who fears the Lord in his own way. And the Bible says that his soul shall dwell at ease. His soul shall dwell at ease. His soul shall dwell at ease. As opposed to a troubled soul, his soul shall dwell at ease. His soul shall dwell at ease. And his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. So if you fear God, God reveals his ways to you. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Fear the Lord. Obey and serve the Lord, and he reveals his ways to you. He will show them his covenant, and that's what we're talking about. Part of the covenant of God is prosperity for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. That's part of the covenant, part of redemption. So God shows them his covenant when you fear God, when you obey and serve God, your soul shall dwell at ease. Your soul shall dwell at ease. So there's some things that we have to take on as reality, that God wants us to spend our days in prosperity and our years in pleasures and our soul dwelling at ease in God. Our soul dwelling at ease. That is part of the covenant of God. Have a look, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. Isaiah 1:19 says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." So how do you eat the good of the land? If ye be willing and obedient. If ye be willing, again he's talking about that he's told us the way to walk in the blessing of God. You have to hearken to his word, you have to obey, fear the Lord, and be willing and obedient. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. So those are the conditions there. If ye be willing and obedient, that's what God, and that's our right service before God. If we be willing and obedient before him, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. So you've got to be led by the Lord. You've got to be led by him. And you've got to have a willingness to be led by God. And a willingness to obey him. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. There's no other way to do it apart from being willing and obedient before God. So let's look now in the book of Psalms at Psalm 68, and let's read verse 19. Psalm 68 and verse 19, which says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah." Who's loading us with benefits? The Lord is. Blessed be the Lord who... How often does he load us with benefits? Daily. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. And is it just a little bit? No, he is loading us with benefits. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, who daily loadeth us with benefits, who daily loadeth us with benefits. God is the one who does this, even the God of our salvation, Selah. God is the one. Everything we have is from the Lord. We didn't do it ourselves. Everything we have is from the Lord. Everything we have is from the Lord. We can't do it on our own. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Who daily loadeth us with benefits. He wants us to see that he daily loads us with benefits. He daily loads us with benefits. He doesn't want us to be blind to that, that we are loaded with benefits every day, daily. He loads us with benefits every day, daily, loads us with benefits. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Psalm 92 and let's read verses 12 to 15 in Psalm 92. Psalm 92, which says, starting at verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So, what does God want for the Christian? He wants the Christian to be a committed person who is planted in the house of the Lord. And what do they do in the house of the Lord? They fear the Lord. They obey God. They have a willingness to serve him and obey him. These are the conditions. So a person, a Christian, has to be serious about their faith. They have to be serious about serving the Lord and serious about obeying him. They have to be serious about doing what God expects them to do. So be planted in the house of the Lord, like a tree, planted in the house of the Lord. So you've got to put your roots down in the house of the Lord. And that person who does that will flourish like the palm tree and like the cedar in Lebanon. They will flourish in the courts of our God. So that's a prosperous person. And it says that they shall bring forth fruit in old age. And they shall be fat and flourishing because they've planted themselves in the house of the Lord. And they've been willing and obedient to serve God and to hearken to him. And why do we do that? To show that the Lord is upright. To show that the Lord is upright. That person is blessed and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright, because he shows his glory in us. He shows his glory in the person who is planted in the house of the Lord, who is serious about serving God. That shows the glory of God. And that shows the blessing of God. That is a person that God can bless. The person who is wanting to serve God. The person who understands that they're redeemed and that Jesus took the poverty and gave them the blessing. That they are blessed and not cursed. That Jesus took the poverty. He took the curse and gave them the blessing. Let's go to Luke 22, verse 35. Luke 22, 35. And the Word of God says here, talking about when the disciples were sent out, and Jesus asked them a question, and he said unto them, When I sent you, this is in verse 35, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. So who met their needs? Who met their needs when they were sent out without purse and scrip and shoes? Lacked they anything? They lacked nothing, and they said nothing. Who met their needs? The Lord met their needs. What did they do for the Lord to meet their needs? They did what God wanted them to do. They went out, and the Lord met their needs. They lacked, they answered him, and they said nothing. God met their needs. God met their needs supernaturally, because he does that. God provided everything for the disciples. God has everything that we need. God meets our needs. God meets our needs so that we lack nothing. So the Lord meets our needs. His will for us is prosperity and provision. And let's finish with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 9 to 12 in 1 Thessalonians. And the scripture says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. You see, it is God's will that we do not have a lack of anything. If we do that, and what these scriptures are showing us is that you do what's right in the sight of the Lord. You walk honestly, you study to be quiet, do your own business, work with your own hands, what God has entrusted into your hands to do. You be willing, you be obedient. God will meet your needs. This is the will of God. You walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Who meets your needs? What Jesus asked the disciples, and they said nothing. God will meet your needs. God has provided for you, because the redemption of God includes prosperity. Let's close in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord. We thank you that the full redemption includes prosperity, and it's prosperity for our spirit, our soul, and our body. We thank you, Lord, that you meet our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God who loves us, who has given us the righteousness of God, who meets our every need, who desires good things for us. We receive that in Jesus' name.
Yes.
So now let's come around the time where we make our offering to the Lord. So let's think about the things that we've learned tonight and give to the Lord in faith, and know that he meets our needs.